Good evening, and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, a place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Monday, November 3rd, 2014. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight, the day before the big 2014 election, we'll talk about a couple of things. I'm going to go over the amendments in Florida again, just in case anyone has any doubts as to why they should vote no, no, and no. These are the three Florida constitutional amendments. Just if you just remember no, 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 you've got it made. We'll talk a little bit about what they are, and I'm going to read some information from Chris Ann Hall. She's a constitutional attorney, and she's written up some information on it. And then we're going to just talk about what could be, what would be, and whatever. We're being flooded with so much political stuff right now on TV and all the crazy commercials and things like that. So we'll just see how far it goes and talk about whatever. I may talk about some transportation issues, and we'll take it from there. Reminder that next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, the 11th, November 11th, is Veterans Day. And please try to think about what Veterans Day really is about and if there's something you can do to help a veteran, to honor the veteran, appreciate what they've done. That would be a good thing to do. It's not all about buying mattresses on sale and stuff like that. So just keep in mind that next Tuesday is Veterans Day. On my schedule, now just kind of, I typically do a show on Monday and Thursday. We have Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Tuesday is the American Freedom Watch radio show we do. But after this week, I'm going to be skipping a couple of Thursdays. I got some other stuff to take care of with the holidays coming up and just different things. It's a little bit of a crazy time. So don't be too surprised if I'm not out there on Thursday a couple weeks from time to time. And then after the first year, I'll probably be back on schedule again. It just, it'll vary between now and the end of the year, basically. I plan on doing the Monday show every time. Thursday will kind of come and go. The other thing I wanted to mention is Thursday, November 20th, if you live in the Isaiah Park area, Isaiah Park area of Orlando, Goldenrod, there is a neighborhood meeting. It's the third Thursday of the month. That's the way it usually is. And it's near Curry Ford and Goldenrod at the church. There's a church right there. I'm forgetting the name of the church. This is embarrassing. Real Life Christian Church. I'm going to be in there talking about transportation. And we may talk a little bit more about transportation tonight, but I'm going to be sharing some information and some facts with my fellow neighbors about transportation, the toll roads, why we need to fix what's going on here, and ask them to get involved and contact some people and say that, you know, enough is enough. excuse me. So anyway, that's just one other thing coming up. But for tonight, tomorrow I'm going to vote. In my own case, I don't typically do the early voting thing. I really don't think you should be allowed to vote 2 weeks out. You know, I think we should do stuff to make it a little bit easier, not limiting it to one day. So I don't have a problem with a little bit of flex time in there for voting. But I think 2 weeks is too excessive, and some places do it for a month. I think that's crazy. That just doesn't make any sense to me. It creates a better opportunity for voter fraud and things like that. So I don't do that part. And unless I specifically am going to be out of town or something, some other reason, I don't typically do the early voting. So I'll be voting tomorrow right here in Orlando/Orange County. And Florida, for those who don't know, Florida has three amendments coming up, amendments to the state constitution. And people need to appreciate when you're changing the state constitution, there's two things. First off, it takes 60% to change it, which is good. It should take 60%. It shouldn't be 51%. You're making a major change, and you should have a supermajority. when you're going to change your constitution. And then the other aspect, which people don't think as much about, is you need to think about what should be in a state constitution. It shouldn't be things like pregnant pigs, which unfortunately Florida has. It shouldn't be about THC. You know, these are things you have statutory laws for, what you're going to do at a state level. Well, the Constitution, you're abusing and trashing our state constitution when you put these kind of things out there. And the other is giving billions of dollars to the state to buy up land for the state to take ownership of real estate, in which isn't the place to do it either. If you want to have some special program to go buy up some conservation land, as they claim they're doing, and we'll talk about that in a minute, that, again, would be statutory. It would not be constitutional. You don't put these things on the Constitution because, like I say, it takes a 60% majority to put it on there. It takes 60% to remove it, and it seems like getting things off of the Constitution is a lot harder than getting them onto it. I mean, I personally think we really should remove pregnant pigs from our state Constitution. This is Florida. I didn't vote for the pregnant pigs, in case you can't tell. But when you think we have pregnant pigs in our Constitution, and truthfully, a pregnant pig has more rights than a pregnant woman, there's something just not right about that. It's crazy. And you don't do that to the Constitution. And then the third thing we have on the, one of the other things tonight, we'll talk about the Third Amendment, is in giving more power to the governor. And I guess in some respects, the role of the governor, maybe that is something that's constitutional that you would put there. I don't know. I don't like it. But right now, I don't like what it is. The governor doesn't need more power. The governor of the state of Florida already has enough power, doesn't need more when it comes to judicial appointments. So this is just a way to be reckless. And because they word things in such a way, part is, too many people think, well, sounds like a good idea. It might be a good idea. Yeah, I'll just say yes. Saying yes sounds like so much more fun than saying no. You know, you don't want to be the no Congress. No, well, actually you do. You want to be the no, you don't want to be trashing your Constitution. You want to read what it says. And don't be manipulated by the marketing and the fancy political, legal jargon language that they use. And unfortunately, that's all over the place on this stuff. So when it comes to the three Florida constitutional amendments, no, no, no. No, no, no. No, no, no. There's really not too much to get confused with. And like I say, we're going to go over a little bit more details about what those are. And then in the case of the the Orange County Charter Amendments, and the same is true. I don't know that you have to have a 60% majority on these. I have to double check that. But you do. But putting it on the charter and then taking it off is just a lot more difficult. Putting stuff on is much easier than taking it off. And you can't be reckless. There are two of the amendments that each have two items in them, and that shouldn't be allowed. You shouldn't be for me to support one thing, I got to support something else, and I may want one but not the other. So you got to go choose which one are you going to go with. And they shouldn't be allowed to do that. There should be a charter amendment saying you're not allowed to put more than one thing into an amendment. And maybe that's one I'll do next time. I don't know. But the thing is, they're doing things to make it more difficult for citizens to put the public referendum items up. They want to control the citizen. They don't want public involvement. They want to be king of the jungle and the dictators of Orange County kind of thing. So you got to say no to this craziness. And when it comes to the amendments on Orange County, there's four of them. No, 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 yes. There's only one that there's a yes to. No to to going out there and making it more difficult for public referendums. Two of the amendments are in reference to public referendums and the games that they kind of play there. Very twisted language, trying to confuse. So I would say no, don't change the charter, the county charter. And then the third one, it's to take the county elections that are currently nonpartisan, which means we don't care what party you're in, everybody gets to vote. They want to make them partisan. Some are claiming this is more transparency. No, it's more division. It's a way to divide people up more and limit participation in the process. When you put partisan races out there, the no party affiliate, the American versus the Republican or the Democrat or something else, is no longer really allowed to participate. And that we're going the wrong way there. It should be the other way around. There should be more participation. You should not have to be a party establishment person to run for public office. You should be allowed to be an American and run for office. But this would say, no, Americans are not wanted, only Democrats and Republicans, and, of course, the other parties, even though you don't hear much about them. So this is the wrong thing to do. It's all a way to control the outcome of the elections, to limit the participation, and to prevent no party affiliates from getting involved and keeping them off the ballot. So that is also a big fat no. The one that's a yes on the amendments is the Amendment D, which is limiting terms, which, again, it has two items in it, and it shouldn't. Just for the record, there's two items in it. There should not be two items in there. Term limits for certain county offices, and then also making certain county offices that are today partisan, making them nonpartisan. Which, when you think of how they're playing games with trying to make other ones nonpartisan, then they're doing this, it's really pretty ridiculous. But the different offices, like the sheriff, is not a partisan position. The sheriff should not be whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. You're a law enforcer. Are you going to enforce the laws? Are you going to uphold the state and national constitution? If when you're a representative for the people, then yes, I don't believe in the political parties anymore after everything I've seen with them and how corrupt they are. But you could say, you can justify that when you're representing someone, your party affiliation would matter because it stands for what you supposedly believe in, even though, again, I have to stress the parties mean nothing. But at one point in time, they did mean a little bit. They did stand for some type of ideology, but today they don't truly mean much. So you can see from a point of being a representative, supposedly believe as the Democrats or as the Republicans or as the Libertarians or whatever else, would mean something. But when you're a sheriff and you're strictly enforcing the law, you don't have that. You're not representing and making decisions on, well, this is the way I happen to believe, so I'm going to support this kind of action, or no, I won't support this kind of action. That's not your job. Your job is very black and white. You do as the law says. You enforce the law. You should be a constitutional sheriff, even though I don't think most of the sheriffs know what a constitutional sheriff is anymore. So there's that. Then the same is true for the supervisor of elections. Supervisor of elections is a job. It has absolutely nothing to do with representing somebody. So it's not a party-affiliated race. It shouldn't be. Should never be. I mean, you think of it, as I'm a supervisor of elections, why would it matter whether I am a no-party affiliate or a Democrat or a Libertarian or a Constitutionalist or a Republican? That would have nothing to do with it. Supervisor of elections is supposed to be someone who's extremely neutral and also is strictly enforcing the laws of voting and helping people vote. It's and controlling and ensuring the integrity of the ballot box. So why would you need a partisan race there? You don't. So Amendment D makes certain positions nonpartisan. The other one, I think, was property appraiser. Again, as a property appraiser, what does that have to do with what party you're affiliated with? You say, well, I'm a Republican, so that means I'm going to give this much on an appraisal. Well, Democrats give this much. Libertarians give this. You know, it's not relevant. It should be nonpartisan. That no more than a judge. Why, you know, judgeships should not be partisan races either. And they're not. So there's these types of positions that they want to change from being partisan to being nonpartisan, which I believe is the correct thing to do. I think it's the tax collector, too. Again, the tax collector, it's not about what party. It's about doing a job and doing it to the best of your ability, openly, and with high integrity and honesty. That's what it's about. So on the Orange County charters, it's no, 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 yes. On the Florida amendments, it's no, no, no. Excuse me. Now, with that being said, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Florida amendments. And I'm looking at this just for in case anybody wants to go look at it. This is chrisannhall.com. Chris as in K-R-I-S, A-N-N-E, Hall, H-A-L-L. So chrisannhall.com. And this is the 2014 Florida Amendment Voter Guide. Let me give you her interpretation of them and some of her information. Excuse me. Okay. Introduction. Okay. Oh, guide, just basic introduction. This guide is designed to inform voters on certain aspects that I do not see being represented in other voter guides. The voter is always ultimately responsible for their vote. I do not take responsibility for anyone's vote, anyone else's vote. We will answer individually one day for our choices. With that in mind, be sure you vote your conscience. And see, while in my own opinion, I agree with that definitely, but I say the informed voter always makes the right decision. If you're truly informed of what the issue is, you know why you're voting for whatever it is, may be the same as me, it may be different, you still did the right thing. If it's what you truly believe and you're informed about the subject, the subject matter, and you've taken that time to listen to both sides and listen to other things, then you're making the right decision. It's what you believe. But to go out there and strictly depend on what you hear on TV, or strictly believe what somebody else may tell you, that's wrong. You need to take a little bit of time and go learn. And, you know, we've talked about the amendments a couple of times on this show and on the American Freedom Watch radio show, and talk about what they mean, the difference of the Constitution versus statutory and things like that. And you're welcome to go out there and validate what we said, go out there and try find other opinions, but just make sure you're informed. If you truly don't know, if you truly don't understand why you would be voting one way or the other, then don't vote at all. I don't have a problem with people saying, I really don't have an opinion, I don't know what's right or wrong, and thus I'm not going to vote on it. Now, when it comes to the constitutional amendments, whether you're going to change the Constitution, personally, I would say if you're not really sure, then leave the Constitution the way it is. Because if you really felt it was a problem, you would probably be saying, yes, we need to change this. So I would tend to say when it comes to that Constitution, we can't be reckless with changing it. We shouldn't just go out there and vote yes on anything. It's truly better off to vote no. You can always go back and change it at a later date if you want to. It can be put back out there. But putting it out there when you don't understand it and then trying to take it back off later because you misunderstood, that is a bad thing to do. And this is, let's see here. I'm going to read a little bit more. This, again, is Chris Ann Hall. As a general rule, I am opposed to constitutional amendments unless it is truly a constitutional issue. Our Constitution is supposed to be the supreme law of the state, establishing guidelines for government, fundamental rights belonging to Floridians, and principles by which we are governed. Statutes, on the other hand, are supposed to be the instrument which we use to enact laws through legislation in our republic form of government. Florida has gotten very lazy about these distinctions, kind of what I was just referring to. And something I've mentioned before, too, I had hoped we had learned about cluttering up our Constitution when we passed Pregnant Pig and the Super Train Amendments. These two examples in mind, I would like those who view this guide to keep in mind a few things. When you vote yes and pass a constitutional amendment, you are creating a constitutionally protected right to something which includes the appropriate protections and assignments. Constitutionally protected rights must be provided under equal access of the law to all citizens of the state without discrimination. If you vote yes, the only way to fix that amendment is through another constitutional amendment. Amendment 1, Florida Water and Land Conservation Initiative. This amendment will be added to the Constitution. Okay, let's see here. Amendment 1 is a very, and I'm reading this off of her website, so quote unquote and all that kind of stuff. Just make sure you go to this page if you want to see it word for word. Amendment 1 is a very dangerous thing. First and foremost, this type of legislation should never become a constitutional amendment. We have done a great disservice to our Constitution in Florida by allowing legislative issues to pollute our Constitution. This amendment would establish a constitutional right for government to expand government control over private land and increase the control of the United Nations over Florida land. Think about that. There's no reason the state needs to own this much land. Why would they do this? This all comes down to the United Nations Agenda 21 stuff. Okay, and continuing on. Let's see. Okay. It will remove private property rights from our landowners and transfer them to the discretion and control of the environmental lobbyists. Additionally, because of the World Heritage Treaty, this legislation will transfer the maintenance and control of more Florida lands to the United Nations. Very few people in Florida know that the Everglades are classified as World Heritage Sites, placing maintenance and control of these lands in the hands of UNESCO through the World Heritage Treaty. Isn't that awful? Literally giving public assets to a world entity, giving away America. That's what it is. This is giving away America. In this case, giving away Florida. A World Heritage Site is a geographic area that is a global environmental or cultural significance. Declaring an area as a World Heritage Site establishes that governments must submit to monitoring of these sites by the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Culture Organization, UNESCO. UNESCO then has the power and authority to seize control of these sites if the World Heritage Committee determines intervention is necessary to properly maintain these sites or some crisis has occurred that requires intervention. Apparently, Florida's Everglades are listed as a World Heritage Site. The Everglades are number 76 on a list of sites worldwide. The Everglades are already classified as being in a state of crisis. This means that UNESCO can move in at any time and force Floridians to maintain their land according to UN standards. This piece of legislation will give more land to the UN via this treaty. Something that should be noted, Florida Commissioner of Agriculture, Adam Putman, is not opposed to the UN taking over our land. He said this is not an issue that Floridians have control over. It is a federal issue. Adam Putman believes that Florida has less control over its land than the federal government and the UN. This mentality, destructive to our liberty, and Adam Putman is endorsing global control over Florida. Here are his words. And a quote. This effort is part of the Wetlands Reserve Program, WRP, a federal program administered by USDA Natural Resource Conservation Service that requires no state approval or acceptance, emphasis added. So in Mr. Putman's opinion, the state of Florida has no say whatsoever if the feds want to give our land to the United Nations. That is so sick. And this is happening all over the place. For more education on Adam Putman's perspective on transferring private property to the UN, please visit. And then she's got her two links to other articles on her site. A yes vote on Amendment 1 would establish a constitutional right for government to expand the lands covered under the World Heritage Treaty. That means the UN will have even more land to control in Florida. This amendment is destructive to individual property rights and the control of Florida over its own land. Amendment 2, Florida Right to Marijuana, Medical Marijuana Initiative. This amendment adds to the Constitution. The measure upon voter approval would legalize medical marijuana. Specifically, the measure would guarantee the following. Florida Department of Health would be responsible for regulating medical marijuana. The department would issue and regulate patient identification cards and personal caregiver identification cards, develop procedures related to medical marijuana treatment centers and institute regulations defining reasonable amounts of marijuana for medical use. The department would be required to protect confidentiality of all patients. Much of the opposition to this law seems to stem out of misunderstanding and fear of legalization of marijuana. This amendment does not legalize marijuana, and it is not a pathway to legalization. It gives access to valuable medical medicinal resources that has been kept from the people through improper government control and criminalization. We already have medicinal opiates and barbiturates, and doctors prescribe them regularly. You can buy medicinal alcohol over the counter at any drugstore. Just read the ingredients in any liquid cold medication. The proven benefits of medical marijuana cannot be denied, and why would civilized society deny people medical care that can vastly improve the quality of their life? The constitutional amendment contains 6 limitations on how the amendment language could be construed. The amendment does not affect laws relating to non-medical use, possession, product of sale, production or sale of marijuana. The amendment does not authorize the use of medical marijuana by anyone other than the qualifying patient. The amendment does not allow for the operation of motor vehicle. The amendment does not allow for the operation of motor vehicles, boats, or aircraft while under the influence of marijuana. The amendment does not require accommodations for medical marijuana use in any place of education or employment or of smoking medical marijuana in any public place. The amendment does not require any health insurance provider or government agency or authority to reimburse any person for expenses related to medical use of marijuana. The amendment does not require the violation of federal law or purports to give immunity to under federal law. That's an interesting part. The amendment does not require the violation of federal law or purports to give immunity under federal law. Let's correct some of the misinformation about Amendment 2. And I've not been a supporter of Amendment 2 for a variety of reasons, and some of these are probably addressed here. Okay, here we go. Claim. In reference to availability of medical marijuana, the website asserts anyone who wants pot will get it. Fact. That's simply not true. In their decision placing Amendment 2 on the November ballot, the Supreme Court affirmed that only patients with debilitating diseases and medical conditions would qualify for medical marijuana. Well, and based on what I've seen on it, this is my take, you could have a headache and they could give you a certificate to get it. They don't give you a prescription, they give you a certificate. Certification. Claim. Teens will be able to legally purchase pot without their parents' consent. Wrong. Fact. Wrong again. In order to purchase medical marijuana, you would need a doctor's recommendation. Under Florida law, barring a few extenuating circumstances, physicians are not allowed to provide medical treatment to minors without parental or guardian consent. So this is a groundless concern. Claim 2. Claim Amendment 2 will lead to a pill mill-like scenario in Florida. Pot docks will spring up next to restaurants, schools, churches, supermarkets. In fact, the State of Florida Office of Economic and Demographic Research has already addressed this issue. They have said the physician examination requirement, the application process with the Department of Health, and the regulatory structure that would be implemented by the same body and subsequent protective laws that may be passed by the legislature would make the scenario extremely unlikely. See page 10 and 11. of OEDR Financial Information Statement claim. The website further contends that felons, even drug dealers, would be able to qualify as caregivers in order to administer medical cannabis to severely ill patients. In fact, the claim requires the reader to assume that the state will implement Amendment 2 in an irresponsible way. Gosh, I don't know why I would ever think the state of Florida did anything irresponsible. If the amendment is passed, the Florida Department of Health will be tasked with issuing detailed regulations regarding qualification requirements for caregivers. During that process, United for Care will fight alongside any organization that, like us, is concerned about making sure nobody with a record of dealing drugs can become a qualified caregiver. Okay, a yes vote for Amendment 2 will establish a constitutional right for people to have access to medical marijuana if their doctor deems it to be part of a treatment plan and follows the proper regulations established by the state of Florida. Editor's note. I suspect the regulation placed on marijuana by the state of Florida will be so substantial that it will make use of this drug will make the use of this drug unaffordable and unobtainable. The use of laws in Washington as a guidepost. Most think marijuana was legalized in the state of Washington, but the registration and the taxing of the drugs are so heavy that it simply is not true. Listen here for a better understanding, and then there's a link. Amendment 3, Florida Prospective Judicial Vacancies. This amendment would amend Sections 10 and 11 of Article 5 of the Florida Constitution. Judicial appointments can only be accompanied by constitutional amendment. Currently, a justice's term of office runs concurrent to the governor's. Amendment 3 attempts to clarify the answer to the question of who appoints these vacancies if there's a change of governors at the conclusion of a justice's term. This amendment will allow the outgoing governors to appoint judges who will sit under the newly elected governor. Isn't that kind of weird? Why would you do that? Interestingly, the argument in favor of Amendment 3, as posed by Senator Tom Lee, is nearly identical to the argument made by progressives of 1912 for the ratification of the 17th Amendment. His argument is that the vacancy created by retiring judges will leave the Supreme Court at a standstill. This expediency argument is what convinced this union that we must take our federal senators elected by popular vote as opposed to being appointed by state legislators. The result at that time was near the destruction of the sovereignty of the states and the proper functioning of our republic. It concerns me that we now see this argument again, just like in 1913, when the vacancies are not really that concerning or detrimental to the entire process. Even by Senator Lee's predictions, the Supreme Court will only wait 3 weeks from the appointment to be back in session, and this delay will only happen on rare occasions when justices' retirement coincide with the gubernatorial elections. Is preventing the Supreme Court from having 3 weeks downtime. Okay, is preventing the Supreme Court from having 3 weeks of downtime on a rare occasion worth amending the entire Constitution? Again, it seems to be very questionable to me. Senator Lee's argument, and then you can listen to it. There's a link to it. A yes vote on Amendment 3 will further politicize the judiciary by making it an outgoing governor's legacy for an incoming governor. Clarifying existing constitutional language to specify that the outgoing governor appoints incoming Florida Supreme Court justices and districts of Court of Appeals judges, or if a vacancy occurs at the same time as the outgoing governor's term ends. The governor would be able to prospectively appoint judges. He or she could make the court appointments where seats are vacated on Inauguration Day. editor's note. I have always had a problem with governors appointing judges. It creates a political monarchy where the political power and control dictates the decisions of the court. I would like to see an amendment that puts the appointment of judges through the voice of the people. Yeah. I have to admit, when it comes to judges, it's a very tricky thing as far as when I say the judges through the voice of the people. If you're going to elect all the judges, in some ways I almost see that as, you know, making it more politicized, but going through the political process. It's a mess for the judges we have to that we do elect now. So that part I'm not sure about. But in the overall scheme of things, it's a no to Amendment 3. So I disagree with what she's saying with Amendment 2, because I think there's too many loopholes in it. I don't think she's mentioning some of these loopholes that others have talked about, and I don't think that marijuana should be on the, or THC should be, no more than pregnant pigs should be on the Constitution. But that is Chris Ann Hall's take, and I agree with her on just about everything, so. Not often do I disagree with her, but on the Amendment 2, I would have to disagree. But please take a look at it, and hopefully it helps you understand the legislation better. Okay, hold on 1 minute. I will be right back. Okay. So those are the three big amendments. Now, like I said before, my own opinion, no. But you have to do what you believe is right. When it comes to the marijuana, I just don't think we need it in the Constitution. Especially when, to me, the language seems kind of strange in it. But more importantly, if you say no now, you can clean it up some and put it back out there for another try. It's just much worse to try to take it off of the Constitution once it's out there. I would love to see us take pregnant pigs out of the Constitution. Okay. The other thing that I was going to talk about, say, I spent quite a bit of time on the Orange County Charter Amendments on Thursday, so if you want some more details on that, please feel free to listen to Thursday's show. And for the sake of just knowing, there's A, B, C, D, and it's no, yes. They're doing everything they can to destroy the public process, public involvement, the ballot box, and it's just wrong. And they put two items in two different amendments, and they should not be allowed to put two different things, two completely different things in one amendment. That's also wrong, and it shouldn't be allowed. So I'm hoping some people might challenge those two anyway, unless they're voted down, and then they just start over again. But if they, by some crazy chance, pass, which they could, because people say, yeah, sure, why not? Yes, yeah. No, it's the other way around. It's no. Of course, you got to be careful with language. Again, they play so many games. They say, well, does this really mean yes, you do want this, or it means no, you don't want this? It's very confusing the way they play the games out there. Let's see. Something I was talking about last week. It's 2016. Now, we're coming up upon 2016. And right now, if you were to just see who the potential candidates for president would be right now, who would you vote for? Who could you vote for? And I mean, on the Democrat side, the donkey side, you know, of course, everybody sees Hillary Clinton out there. And then Elizabeth Warren, who's out there some, but you don't really see much about her. Outside of that, I don't know that I hear any other names on the Democrat side. And I find that interesting. Because it kind of really pretty much tells you that they've already decided who it's going to be. They've decided it's going to be Hillary. So truly, there's no reason to have a primary because they've already decided. If anybody else wanted to run for the Democrat nomination for president, they wouldn't have a chance because the political establishment has already said it's going to be Hillary. That's what we're doing. And I think who would vote for Hillary or for Elizabeth Warren as far as that goes? With Elizabeth Warren, she's the one that said she was a Native American routine or related to a Native American when that turned out to not be true. But who would vote for Hillary Clinton and why? I mean, there'd be nothing, you know, Americans have become so superficial in so many ways. That's really disgusting to me. Because I'm like, are you going to, you voted for Obama because he's black or because he's really so wonderful? Let's face it, a lot of people voted for him because he was black. And I didn't vote for him because of that reason. And I mean, he's half black and he's half white. So I really don't care what race he is or what he looks like that way. I'm much more concerned about who he is as a person, what his core beliefs are. Does he believe in the Constitution? Being a constitutional attorney doesn't mean you're that you believe in the Constitution. Maybe it was your whole goal to master the Constitution to try to figure out how many ways you could destroy it. So why did people vote for Obama? Was it, you know, the first time around, he was very inexperienced. It's a community, whatever it was, community something. And community organizer, And don't even ask me exactly what that is, but that's what he was doing, and somehow that qualified him to be the president. Pretty scary stuff when you think about it. But everybody loved his hope and change, and, you know, they wanted to be part of history. They wanted to say they voted for a black president, they were part of history. And is that what we're supposed to be doing, saying, wow, we have to create history here. We have to vote for somebody who's going to be historic in some way. Is that why you voted for him? I didn't vote for him, but then I didn't vote for Bush either. So, you know, I'm sick of the two parties. They don't put people up that I like, and I'm not going to vote for them. If you think I'm wasting my vote, that's your opinion. I think the biggest waste is when you vote for somebody you don't believe in. Somebody you don't think is qualified, somebody you don't trust, somebody you just don't like, don't agree with what they've said, you know, because you think it's the lesser of two evils. That is so sick. And if Americans can't get past the lesser of two evils mentality, I just don't know what's going to happen to us. We can't fix a broken system if you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. You know, it's just disgusting. Which brings me to the topic of Hillary Clinton. So why would people vote for her? Would they be voting for her because they actually wanted Bill Clinton back? I would say some probably would say, well, you vote for her and you get Clinton as a tag-along. And some people thought he was a much superior president, even though the truth is some of the things he did now, like NAFTA and some of this other stuff, we've paid for it now, or we're paying for now. So he was there at the right time before everything hit the fan from many of the things he did. And, of course, we can talk about his inappropriate behavior in the White House and his perjury and these kind of things. So but some people seem to just like the guy. Doesn't matter what he does. Doesn't matter what he stood for. This is why I say Americans become so superficial. They don't seem to stand for anything anymore. They don't seem to believe in any kind of truth or integrity, decency. How would you support somebody like that? I would never pay a dime to go see former President Clinton. I would never pay a dime to go see Hillary. And these places are paying $250,000 and whatever other crazy. And then, of course, all these books. I just can't do that. When I look at these people as individuals and what they have done, there's nothing that I particularly respect about them. Why would I don't get it. And when it comes to Hillary, it's like, well, are they voting for Hillary because of Bill Clinton? And I have no doubt some will. Or are they voting for Hillary because she's a woman? And this goes back into what happened with Obama. We have to prove that we will elect a woman. We don't care what the woman is. We don't care what the woman's done. We don't care about Benghazi. We don't care about the other weird things that have happened in her life. We don't care about the fact that she had no problem with her husband jumping in bed with every other woman. We don't care about any of those kind of things. What she is morally, we don't care. What she did as the Secretary of State, the Benghazi thing, well, we don't care about that either. But she's a woman, so we have to elect a woman. And how many women would go along with that same... I just can't tell you enough. For a woman to vote for her strictly because she's a woman, you show that you're not a very secure person, that you're not a very strong individual, that somehow you are still so insecure that you would vote for somebody just because of their gender. Because if you take that out of there, she's not qualified. I mean, is she more qualified than the guy that's in there now? I personally don't have I wouldn't vote for either one of them. You know? And I wouldn't trust either one of them. I wouldn't trust either one of them with foreign policy. Wouldn't trust any of them with our Constitution. Wouldn't trust either one of them with the future of the security of this country. So why would you vote for Hillary? I mean, do you truly, what is it about her that she says that you are so convinced she would do the right thing and our country would be better off for it? Being a woman is not the reason to vote for her. And I fear a lot of women, a lot of people, especially women, will vote for her as some kind of historic thing. It's like, no, that's not the way to make history. If Hillary's got so much to offer, let her do her own thing and offer whatever way she's doing now. She does not deserve, not trusted to be president. It would just be just another version of Obama in there again. No. And also, the other part of this I can't really stress enough too is we're not supposed to be a monarchy. To have either John Ellis Bush in there or to have another Clinton in there, this isn't, we've got to get out of this mentality that these people are royalty. We're supposed to have citizen representation. The president should be a citizen, should be an individual. Not keep playing these political games. These political games are destroying us. And they're just not the right thing to do. So, with that being said, and Elizabeth Warren, I don't really know a whole lot about her, except for the ordeal about her claiming that she was related to some Native Americans, and she got some kind of benefits for saying that or whatever, which that puts her pretty low down the totem pole with me if you're going to go and lie about that kind of stuff to try to get some kind of free benefits. But outside that, I really can't tell you a whole lot about her. I don't know enough to say. I'll say she's a Democrat or whatever, you know. So I don't really know. I don't have any other true opinion of her on that respect. But when it comes to anybody else for the Democrats, I don't hear them saying any other name out there. Surely they must have more than two women. I mean, again, is that what this is going to be about, trying to go for the... to end the war on women, which I think is a crazy thing to keep saying. So many things have changed. Is everything equal in the world? No, it never will be. But these same people, like Hillary Clinton, they're out there, you know, all promoting Islam, you know, trashing any form of Christianity. And yet, Islam is one of the most oppressive to women's rights of anything. Sharia, what do they think that is? And it's kind of like, well, you're saying that you care about women's rights, but yet you're out there promoting Islam. Try to put that together and say, does that make any sense? It really doesn't. Does not make any sense. So anyway, that's it for the Democrat side. I can't tell you anybody else out there. And when it comes to those that are in public office, I can't think of any that I would particularly like to see out there on the Democrat side. When you get on the Republican side, and I really want to see more no-party affiliates out there, but until that happens, and when I say Republican, Libertarian, whoever, I got to see who's out there for the Libertarian Party for the presidency and also the Constitutional Party. There's some other ones out there. Got to see who's coming out on those. You don't hear much about them. You got to do some real digging on those to find out. But when it comes to the Republican side, there's a few out there that I could vote for. I mentioned it on one of the shows, Dennis Michael Lynch, he's out there. And right now, if anybody was to say, who would you vote for today, I would definitely vote for him today. Maybe as the campaign comes through, we'll learn more things about him, and then something happens and I'm turned away, I don't know. But at this point in time, based on what I've seen with him and the amnesty and the borders, the documentary he's done down there, he's walked the walk. He's put his life on the line down there. And I got to give him credit for that. And he will not accept amnesty. Based on everything he has said to date, he would not promote or push amnesty. He would not allow it. Now, that's not to say he couldn't get in there and do something totally different or whatever. I don't know. But that isn't what he says today. And then you've got Rand Paul. A lot of things I like about Rand Paul, but the fact that he was so willing to go to stoop to the level of the party establishment very much concerns me. It gives me a lot of distrust in him. And you understand, well, they got to play the game. And, there's a certain part of this you kind of understand some of the politics of it. But then there is a line. There is that line you don't cross where you're no longer being one of the party members per se, you have truly sacrificed your core beliefs to suck up to the establishment. And I think Rand Paul, he believes obviously many of the things his father does, but not everything. And he's trying to play the game different than his father because he knows what happened to his father with the political process. But there's a certain level. You can only stoop to a certain level before you've literally sacrificed or surrendered your beliefs, where you said you'll say anything for that party attention. And or you will say and do anything to align yourself with that party. That's what he did when he endorsed McConnell. The Republican establishment said, you need to endorse McConnell or we're not going to endorse you next time. You either do as we tell you to do, or we're not going to be there when you need it. But here's the saddest part of all is that Rand Paul seems to think they're going to be there for him. They're not. The GOP is just using him for a puppet. And there were some of those because of his endorsement, and I think he maybe has some regrets of having done it, and didn't endorse the other guy, Blevin. He realizes he took a big hit with his own constituents and his followers. Those who happened to believe in what he was saying and doing said, this guy's for sale too. Rand Paul is for sale too. Now, the question that I would have is like, well, is he playing this game to the point he just wants to get in there and then he's going to do different? But he knows he can't go and say certain things. But at the same time, isn't that kind of the point? So you had to lie to get elected because the party establishment wouldn't support you if you actually spoke what you believed, and you want to go in there and that, and then you want to do something different, and yet you want people to trust you. I don't know what kind of game he's trying to play. He can't play both sides, and that's the truth. you try to play both sides, and he won't win. He'll lose across the board. And I don't, anybody can challenge or disagree with what I'm saying, but I'm telling you right now, I do not for 1 minute think that Republican Party is going to back him in any way, shape, or form for the White House. They will do everything they can to trash him for the likes of a Chris Christie, or the likes of a John Ellis Bush, or the likes of a Marco Rubio. That is the sick mentality of the Republican Party. They, and this is the same is true for Ted Cruz, Tom Lee, and Dennis Michael Lynch. Dennis Michael Lynch said he was going to seek the Republican nomination. None of these guys stand a chance to get the Republican nomination. None of them. They are not the establishment people. They are nothing like John Ellis Bush, which is what the Republican Party is pushing. So, if any of these guys are serious about the nomination, which on the Ted Cruz issue, you got to deal with the constitutionally natural born citizen doesn't qualify. He's got one American parent. He was born outside the country to one American parent. That's what the dilemma is. His father was a Cuban. He was born in Canada. Natural born means you are born to American parents. The location of where you're born isn't as important as the fact you're born to two American parents. So what makes Ted Cruz more of a American versus a Cuban by his birth? It doesn't. So that's what the dilemma is. And I believe Ted Cruz will have many battles to go over. It might not be as bad because people have turned and looked the other way to the guy who's in office today who shouldn't be there. But again, that shows how superficial Americans have come, because we no longer care for principles. We no longer believe in anything. We don't believe in the Constitution. And the law is out there. I mean, the case law is out there. Natural born. There's a distinction between being an American citizen eligible to be a senator or a representative, and then the eligibility to be president, which is a natural born citizen. Natural born being born to two American parents. So Ted Cruz will have that to deal with. Some think it's no big deal, whatever. But regardless of that, the GOP probably won't make any issue of that. It will be the Democrats who make that issue. It will be the Republicans who take him down, just like they will take down Rand Paul. They're not the establishment. They're not going to follow. They're not going to support them or promote them. They want the liberal progressive mentalities, amnesty people of John Ellis Bush, Marco Rubio, Chris Christie. That's the mentality. And they're, they say they're going to go for another governor, so that would mean that they can't go for Rubio because he's never been a governor. He was a speaker of the Florida House, but he wasn't a governor. So that would limit them to John Ellis Bush and Chris Christie. All the experience that Dennis Michael Lynch has doesn't mean anything to him. Republicans won't back him either. So right now, it's looking pretty obvious that the GOP nomination, which is being decided by the establishment, not by the Republican voters. You got to understand, the Republican voters do not have a say in this. This is the establishment. Of course, Romney kind of keeps dropping his name out there from time to time. But understand, the Republican voters do not have a say in this. They will be told how to vote. The establishment tells them. And as good sheeple, they do as the establishment tells them. That's why I couldn't stay being a Republican. So I am a no party affiliate. See, I happen to think it's more important to be an American than to be a Democrat or a Republican or any other party as far as that goes. So that's what you're looking at. And the same is true with Mike Lee from Utah. I guess his name right. Gosh, this is bad. Anyway, any of these guys would be the same ones the Republican Party will definitely reject, will trash, will do everything they can, just like they did to Herman Cain, will do everything they can to bring their own down. These are the ones that I would have in the, I would be willing to vote for. I will not vote for John Ellis Bush. I will not vote for Marco Rubio, and I will not vote for Chris Christie. So when you take them out, again, I will be going to either a Libertarian third party or a no-party affiliate or something. I voted for the Constitutionalists last time. I would not vote for either of the others. And so, well, Romney wouldn't have been as bad as him. I said, but we got to be able to find somebody we believe in. Why do you got to vote for scum one or scum two? There's something sick in the society, and this American culture has declined when you have to vote for scum. Can't you find somebody? When I say scum buckets, I mean, Romney, he was out there. His big old friend from Melaleuca, which was a big campaign contributor and whatever, heavily promoting amnesty. Romney was promoting amnesty, too. You know, he's being a little bit different in how he said it, but he was pushing for it and still is pushing for it. So he, and of course, he was the Romney care routine. I'm not going to talk about how stupid it was to put a dog on the top of your car routine. But there's, can't we find somebody with a little bit of integrity that actually says something they believe in? And, you know, when it comes to Rand Paul, he's out there trying to play this other game. I could vote for Rand Paul. If he was on the ticket, I could vote for him, provided he changes his stance on amnesty. If he says amnesty again, I will say no to him. He's played games with amnesty. He said, you know, what he wants to do, and we're not going to go and try to send everybody back, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to send them back. They'll go back when they're no longer allowed to have the jobs here, when they have no money. They'll either be arrested for some type of crime and then sent back, you know. So I don't follow that, but he's trying to play both sides. They're trying to play to the Latinos instead of the Americans, and I think that's so sick, too. Why are we not playing to the American people? Why do we keep dividing all these different factions? Why did these people, and this is all because they've totally lost any sense of values. They don't know what it means to be an American anymore. Party politics has divided. It's nuts. But, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, if Rand Paul, Dennis Michael Lynch, or Ted Cruz, or these guys were on the ballot, I could vote for them. Ted Cruz, I have concerns about the constitutional piece of it, so I have to tell you, I would have to do a little bit of soul searching. It's like, am I willing to bypass the fact that he's not really eligible? Based on everything I know, his mother was an American, but that's the only thing that makes him anywhere near an American, because he was born in Canada and his father's a Cuban. So he's not a natural-born American, not from everything I've seen. So that gives me a problem, too. And then Mike Lee from Utah or wherever it is, you know, I could vote for him, too, I think, in most cases. These are people that today I could vote for. Ben Carson I was liking Ben Carson, but I have to hear what he's saying about amnesty, too. I'm not sure. At some point I heard he was also a pro-amnesty person, and I won't vote for a pro-amnesty person. It's amazing how some of these people, which Ben Carson and Rand Paul are both doctors, but these others who are attorneys who promote this, it's like, you're an attorney and you promote violating the rule of law. What does that say about Americans? Okay, we train these people to be attorneys, rule of law, but they say we don't care about the rule of law. It doesn't make any difference. We do what we feel like. Constitution doesn't mean anything to them. Kind of bugs me. just kind of, I don't know. But in the overall scheme of things, of those that I just mentioned, Dennis Michael Lynch would definitely get my vote if they were all on the ballot today. I can't guarantee I won't change my mind in 2 years based on whatever else may have happened, but this is where I'm at with it today, and we'll see how it all plays out. I've heard something, somebody, just at some point someone said something about Dennis Michael Lynch didn't return their calls, didn't respond to an email. Apparently was supposed to be someplace at some Tea Party meeting and didn't show up. And, you know, I can understand how that's frustrating, but I wouldn't let that be the primary reason I would vote or not vote for him. I think the scheduling, and I think there's a lot of craziness in what happens out there. Yes, you would like to think that they would respond and acknowledge. I don't know. I think I wouldn't let at that one level. I don't know. I couldn't use that as an excuse to not vote for him. And I definitely wouldn't. If Ted Cruz and Dennis Michael Lynch were both out there side by side, I would have to go with Dennis Michael Lynch. Same with Rand Paul. Right now, I just believe he's the stronger of them. He isn't going to bow down to the politics. The only thing that concerns me is he did say he was going to seek the Republican nomination. I don't think he stands a chance to get the Republican nomination, so I hope he rethinks that piece of it. I believe he's a no-party affiliate / independent today, but I'm not sure about that. You can go do a search on the website, and you can see his announcement when he did this. And you can also visit his website, which is theycometoamerica.com. What I see of this guy, he's the one I'd vote for today. Can't guarantee I'll say the same thing in 2 years. I may learn some other things, find out some other stuff. I'm not sure. So we'll see. And let's see. You know, I never even opened the chat room today. Sorry if anybody's out there trying to get to that chat room. I totally forgot to open it. I'm going to wrap up the show a little bit early tonight. It's, I think people are burned out on talking about politics and elections. I know I am. I've seen enough and heard enough. I'll be glad when it's over tomorrow. And then we get to wait a couple of months and then they start all over again. And we'll be talking 2016. But it will be interesting to see what happens tomorrow, see what happens if the Republicans take over the Senate. I will have to say I'll be glad to see Harry Reid out of control there, but I don't have a whole lot of faith in McConnell doing anything. I hope they'll change, the Republicans that get in there will change their thinking on him and go out there and get somebody else to be the Senate president. Just like they need somebody besides Bonehead Boehner over there. Pretty scary thought. But we'll see. We'll see what they do about the executive orders, amnesty. We'll see what they do about Obamacare, if in fact they take over. They know that most of their stuff will be vetoed by Obama because nobody believes in America anymore. And most Americans don't seem to. They keep dividing us. They keep playing sides. It's sad. It's very sad. But at any rate, the main thing I will ask for those tuning in and listening, please, please be informed. Seek the truth. Face the truth. And then we can save America. We must be united as Americans. If we don't stand a chance. United we stand, divided we fall. And that truly is where we're at. We're at that point. We have got to be united as Americans. That's the truth. And so please, again, get engaged in the process. Get out and vote. If you haven't taken the time to research things, and if you're not sure, I mean, if you truly have no opinion about the governor, then don't vote for him. You can pick the third party, whoever. Write-in candidate. Got Charles Frederick Talbert. He's the write-in candidate for the governor. He's been on the show a couple times. Don't think you're stuck with the two options. And if you don't like either, I mean, if you think you're limited to the lesser of two evils, and you truly don't like either one of them, then don't vote for either one of them. Just pass the whole thing. Don't vote for the garbage. Don't insist on voting for more of the same crap. They're scumbags. I mean, that's what I call them, and, I don't know, people probably call me worse, I don't know. And especially if I decide to run for the supervisor of elections, which we really do need to get somebody else in there for the supervisor of elections. We need someone who's going to be proactive in informing voters of what the voting laws are, what a partisan race is, which races are partisan and which ones aren't. Just so people understand, be a form of education on the voting process. We cannot trust public education to teach, not to mention different counties, different states, whatever the rules are different. So you need to reach out to voters and let them know how the rules are here. And that doesn't happen today. But it really truly is up to we the people to assume responsibility for what's become of our country. And go from there. We really have to. We've got to take control, take ownership, assume the responsibility, and be Americans. And if you try every day, we must be united as Americans. If we are not going to be united, we will not survive. I'm not going to read any of President George Washington's farewell address tonight, but I've mentioned it many times, and if you're not familiar with it, please go get it. Just do a search on George Washington's farewell address, and you can find it and read it. See what it says about parties, the will of a nation for the will of a party, divisive, different associations and factions, organizations whose purpose is to divide. They're killing us. They're destroying us. We don't need to worry about Al-Qaeda or the Muslim Brotherhood. We're doing it to ourselves, which is sad. So please get out and vote. If you haven't voted yet, please get out and vote. Assume some responsibility for the process. Be informed. Help save the country. It's up to you and me. It truly is. So with that being said, I'm going to wrap it up for tonight. And dear Lord, help us. And I sure hope God will still bless America. We need all the help we can get. On that note, good night, everyone.